Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter 6. We're going to spend a little bit of time here just talking. And then as a family, as a church family, and as an immediate family, we're going to pray. Matthew chapter 7 says this: "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of the religious law. Luke 6 says it this way: "And so why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. And when the floodwaters rise, break against the house, it stands firm against it, is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins." The passage we're talking about today is two builders. Who built two houses on two different types of foundations with two different results. When we lived in Omaha, Nebraska, we lived in a subdivision that had four houses that you could choose from, meaning the people across the street most likely had a house just like yours, but you only saw the difference in the paint color. You only saw the difference in the decor and how it was laid out and how the carpet was laid. Who went higher end? Who went lesser end? That's what you were seeing. Every house looked very similar, and this is what Jesus is talking about. And he's talking about two different things. He's talking about first comparisons and then those differences, the contrast. Here's the comparisons. Both people that day heard the word of Christ. The two people in this parable both heard Jesus share his message of faith and repentance. Thus, both people referenced in this parable, they knew the way of salvation. These were men and women who knew. They'd followed. Both built houses. Each of these people built a house based on their understanding of what Jesus had just said. Which is what I think we sometimes do. We read the Bible and we fit it to what we want it to say. Be careful. Be careful. Both people believed the message to a certain point. They each applied the words of Jesus to their lives as they saw fit. Both built in the same location. It says that the storms came. They were in the same location. They're in the same neighborhood. And they both built similar houses. You could see that the houses were similar. You could see like, wow, look how beautiful that house is. And look how beautiful that house is. Similar houses. The picture of people and how they respond differently to the gospel. This is what 1 Corinthians 15 says, and this is what we need to get. Paul told the Corinthian church, "I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins. Just as the scripture said, he was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said." Here's what you and I have to understand. We have to be reminded as a church family of what the important things are. Listen, as a family, we need to be reminded. As a husband, we need to be reminded. This is the important things, that Jesus died. This is what the scripture says, that he was buried and that he was raised again. They built their house in the same location. They built it with the same storms on the horizon. And from the outside, you really couldn't tell much difference in the houses. Here's the differences, the contrast. One man built his house on sand. Anybody like the beach today? Come on. Pastor Sean, Shelley. Going out of town, celebrating 15 years of marriage this week. 15 years. Come on, let's give it up for Shelley. He had the choice. The beaches of Mexico or the mountains of Colorado. Tough choice, right? Nope. A lot of Colorado people. Who's choosing the mountains? Hands up. Who's choosing the beach? Overwhelming. We love sand. It says one house was built on sand. Little preparation. He found a spot for his house and he began to build. Listen, little preparation. Sand is unstable. It's not ever changing. It's moving. Sand offers no stability. It's not a good place to build a house. It can never provide a firm foundation. Building on sand speaks of people who hear the gospel, but instead of believing the gospel and coming to faith in Jesus, they believe they can build their lives on themselves. And listen, this is not us coming in and us going, hey, listen, I don't need to hear this today. This is for somebody else. This is for us to understand, to evaluate, because you and I, we want more. You and I, God, there's got to be more to life than what I'm experiencing. We want more. And God's going, there is more. But you want the easy way out. I want the easy way out. We're built to go the easier way. That's why when the Bible says, dig up the root of bitterness. You know what that means? Man, I got to grab a shovel and I got to start digging. That means I'm sorry isn't just good enough. I think it's a start, but now I got to start digging, and now I got to start praying for something, and now I got to start putting the work in, because that's how I dig up the root of bitterness. The root for some of us goes way down deep. Some of you in this room, you've been hurt by people, and you're still mad about it. Some of you, 20 years later, I would say a name to you and you'd shrink up, cower back. What is that? That root goes real deep. Doesn't make you bad. Doesn't make you unlovable. It doesn't make you outside of God's will. It makes you vulnerable and hurt. Now you got to put in the hard work. You got to dig deep. Listen, to put a house on sand, I can get a tiny house, I can throw it up, it's easy, we're done, no big deal, look how pretty it looks. For the other, Luke says, I gotta dig deep until I hit rock. When I hit rock, now I've cleared all the ground away, now I put it on that, and now it's strong. It looks just like the other one, but I don't know the difference until the storms come. And the storms will come. It didn't say it rained and it stormed on the one. It says it rained in the same area. Pagan's life. Those that are saved, those that are unsaved. This is not God's judgment. This is life. And it's going to happen. Bad things are going to happen to you. Can we stop creating this falsehood that the storm will never come because I've given my life to Christ? We're misrepresenting the gospel. The important thing is Jesus died. Jesus rose from the grave. I can be forgiven, but storms are still going to come. Here's the hard thing. We don't find out until storms come. Build their house on their lives of self-will and self-fulfillment. And this is what Paul told Timothy. Hear these words. He said, mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of who? Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slander. This is a list. I'm exhausted. Brutal. Not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. People who build on sand can say a prayer They can sign a card, they can join a church, and all will be well. But they're like a light switch flipped on and off. Today is different from tomorrow. You're inconsistent. God says, listen, when I look at you, he wants to see one word, and that one word is faithful. You know what faithful is? Faithful is consistent. Faithful is persevering. Faithful is when the storms come, you know that your house is built out of the same materials, the one that was built on sand, but yours is attached to a foundation that is rock. So though it blows and though it comes, you are secure. Peter, anybody just read the Bible and you just relate to someone? Like, you just hear their story and you're like, my God, that's me. And it's usually not the good guys. Like, yeah, I relate to Job, you know. It's like Peter, the mouth. I think he was the competitive one. He's the one that was mad at John all the time because Jesus loved John differently. And he took it as wrong. He's the one that put his foot in his mouth a lot. He's the one that was aggressive. He's the one that when Jesus was about to be arrested, he grabbed his sword and he cut off the ear. He's that guy. You know? Like, he's the guy that we need to write movies about. Including his death as a martyr. Including the fact that he failed. He messed up. He screwed things up from time to time. He denied Christ to an 8-year-old girl. That is what the Bible says. Even after Jesus said you're going to. We read the story and go, God, this guy is dumb. Like, he just told you you're going to deny me 3 times and then you go do it. Like, it should be on your mind. Right? Yet he still denies him, and one is around a campfire. This little girl says, hey, weren't you with Jesus? No, I wasn't with Jesus. What are you talking about? He denies, yet Jesus. And it's not texting or an old school phone call. Marriage counselors say over half of all divorces are the result of poor communication. And I'll even add this. Don't amen here. It's usually the man's fault. Communication shows where our foundation is built. There's 7 B's of listening, and you and I need to hear this today. The first of those 7 is to be observant. I heard this. You listen with your eyes as much as your ears. My high school soccer coach, still to this day, I look at people in their eyes because you didn't play unless you looked at him in his eyes. This is old school Bobby Knight stuff right here. Throwing chairs and stuff. But if you were talking to him and you weren't looking at, he understood that you're not present. You're not paying attention. And if you're not if you're looking all around over here and you're not paying attention, then you're not listening. Because you and I listen more with just our ears. We listen with our eyes as well. UCLA researchers said that only 7% of our true feelings are conveyed by the actual words that we speak. 7%. 38% by the way we say those words, and 55% is conveyed through body language. Body language. See, communication is the glue to relationships, and the glue to relationships is building my house on a foundation. There's cracks in our foundation because relationally we've stopped communication. And when you stop communication, so goes the relationship. So when you start disagreeing with someone and you unfriend them on Facebook, or you say, I'm never going to be around that person, what you've really just said, whether you mean this wholly or not, is you're dead to me. Why? Because you've stopped the communication.
When you stop communication, there could be no restoration. When you stop the communication, what you're really saying is, I'm done. Listen, in this room, we're either people that want solutions or we're people who want the easy way out and get out of the problem. That's good teaching right there. Be considerate. Another form of listening is to be considerate. This is a big one for me. Be affectionate. I know in this room, some of you are not huggers. But your kids are. Do you know that when you follow Jesus, that you have to do things that you're uncomfortable doing? If you're basing your life of following Jesus on whether you feel comfortable or not, you're actually not following Jesus. If you're in this room and you say, one of my five love languages is not touch, therefore I don't touch, I'm telling you right now, you're disobeying what is very vital to human beings in your life in being affectionate. They even say that women need 8 physical touches a day. And this is not me, because my wife is not affectionate. She doesn't need 8. She needs -8. She would prefer me going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You're done. I am a hugger, right, Josh? Not a patter. You're right. You are right. Listen, come here, Josh. Can you get up? Gosh, he needs help. This is what I did to Josh today. So, added the hug. Some of you are going to get uncomfortable right now. I'm going to just throw this out there. Including him. So when you hug like this, you don't pat, okay? There's none of this. There's more of this. And all you have to do to make it awkward is add the Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh, and if he has a beard, rub them together. Why did everybody shave their beards? Oh my gosh. Be wise. Here's what I mean about this with relationships. Attack the problem, not the person. Listen, I know several of you in this room, you're divorced. And I understand that your foundation during that divorce was a shifting foundation. I'm not equating you all to into the same category with that divorce or anything like that, but I will tell you this, that the biggest, whether it's a divorce, whether it's a friendship that's separated, the biggest issue that happens in that is not the problems that you're facing. It's how do we resolve the problems? Because there's men and women in this room that have had crazy problems, and they've resolved those problems. It's resolve. You are either a solution person or you're not. When we planted this church, here's what this one guy said to us that helped us plant. He said, there will be people that start with you. There will be people that continue and join you. And there will be people that walk away from you. It's going to happen. They don't want anything to do with what's happening. Why? Because they see it as a problem and not a solution. Listen, here's what I believe God is building in the kingdom of God. Not people that come in and point out, I'll give you 15 problems right now with the church. This is not about pointing out the problems. It's about gathering together men and women, like-minded, meaning you want the gospel to go out and you coming together and going, we recognize this is a problem. What's the solution? It's easy for you to go, I see the problem and I'm out. To me, all you're saying is, I'm going to build this house right here because it's easy for me to just go over there. Guys, this is as simple as relationships. This is primarily to us as men as well. Like, guys, we got to get this right in relationships. We got to use wisdom that the person is not the thing that we're fighting. It's not against us. The enemy wants to divide this. How do we come together and say, I know we disagree, but what's the solution here? And listen, if we're not listening, if it's always against you and me and you're the problem and you're saying I'm the problem, we're not going to accomplish anything. It's not going to be anything. Because let's be real, you bring some problems and I bring some problems. And the faster we admit that, be an example. You know what listening is being an example. Listen to this stat. Guys, hear this stat. A study said that if both mom and dad attend church regularly, 72% of their kids remain faithful. 72%. If only dad, 55% remain faithful. If only dad. If only mom, 15%. 15%. If neither, 6%. Why? Because dad, you have more of a voice than you ever thought you did. I'll take it a step further. Men in this church, you have a vital role into the next generation for those that do not have a dad. Listen, stop thinking that we got to slap a youth leader badge on you before you can impact the next generation. Take a kid that you see in the hallway, that you see come to church on a regular basis. Go over and speak a word to that kid. Begin to mentor that kid. Begin to start a relationship with that kid. And I can guarantee you this. You be the example, then all of a sudden their lives are going to change. You're not just changing a kid. You're changing the future of every person that kid comes in contact with. This is our responsibility. This is not us versus them. This is our responsibility. Amen. Percentage of American teens who say they want to be like their parents. Ready? 39%. Say they want to be. 39% of American teens say they want to be like their parents. We have a job to do. And can I say this? You cannot do it by yourself. I cannot do it by myself. We play a role together to be the example to the next generation. We can no longer just be people that say, God, we want the right foundation. We have to be people who do. We have to be people that obey. We have to be people that don't just hear, that we are responding as well. Why? Because the next generation is dependent on it. Dependent. It might start and stop with you. Last thing, in case you guys can come up. Be courageous. Be bold. You know why the main reason we don't communicate is? Fear. We don't communicate because we assume. We don't communicate because of anxiety. We don't communicate because we have already created a scenario in our mind that is going to happen that will never happen. And so, the last thing of being a good listener is be bold. Be courageous. Say the things that need to be said, things that need to be expressed. Stop cowering. but be bold. Know when to talk and when to shut up. It takes as much courage to shut up and listen than it does to speak up and be bold. Probably even more. You're right. Probably even more. You guys, we are at a crossroads. And I don't want to overemphasize something, so I don't want to be dramatic. How about that? I get enough of that. Never mind. I don't want to be dramatic, but we are at a crossroads as the church. That we are hearing the message of what Christ is saying. And the crossroads is, we've all heard it. We've all heard it. And some of us, what we've heard is you're offended right now. You're hurt. Because Jesus was rallying the troops. He was coming to them and going, come on, guys. Something's at stake here. Lives are at stake. He's rallying the troops, and some people are like, yeah, he's a little too aggressive. I don't like what he's... Eh. And some people are like, yeah, let's go. Let's do this. And so they, in their passion, in their zeal, they went after it. Peter being one of those. The disciples being one of those. And Judas heard it too. What? What was revealed? The foundation wasn't on the rock, it was on sand. We're at a crossroads as a church. Are we going to do this? Are we going to do this? Are we going to sit back and let the enemy win a fight? And for some of you, this is, man, we need to just tear down the house. Who's on the wrong foundation? Let's start to rebuild. And some of it is a restructuring. You need to go home as a dad and you need to restructure how you're operating in your family. You got to change some things. Some of you, you're bringing in the spiritual helotex because you got cracks. And it's going to fix it. It's going to fix it. And you're going to be okay. It's a slight crack, but we don't got to tear up the foundation. But some of you, you got to rip it all up and let's start again. And you got to start digging. You got to start plowing. Why? Because your family's at stake. Your friends are at stake. Yeah, you were for more. But what you do from this point on determines what that more looks like. It determines it. When Jesus said to Peter, you're going to deny me, what did that just reveal? Peter wasn't building his life on the foundation of who Christ was. What did he do? Here's the beauty, you guys. Here's the beauty. He denies him. Jesus is cooking breakfast. The disciples all around. And it says, and the disciples and Peter showed up. Peter was there. Went back. And what was Peter saying? Peter was there and Jesus welcomed him back. And what happened with Peter? Peter is the biggest advocate as he stood up and thousands of people come to know Christ because Peter's voice and because the Holy Spirit led Peter. And now all of a sudden, thousands of people come to Christ. And now all of a sudden, they want to murder and martyr Peter. And he says, I'm not worthy to be crucified the same way Christ was. Crucify me upside down. He dies a martyr. The same guy that denied said, listen, my foundation is wrong. Let me fix some things and let God restore. Now he's saying things like, you are Peter. You are the rock. Listen, don't let your past determine what your more is. God says, I will rebuild. Let's do this thing. Let's go. Listen, the hour is at stake. Come on. Do you stand? And maybe you're here with a family. Maybe you're here with a friend. Those of you with families, a spouse, your kids, gather them close. Gather them close to you. Lay your arms around them. And I just want this. I want this to happen right now. Start adopting people if they don't have family. Come on. We're one big family. You see someone by themselves, you adopt them right now. You say, welcome to my family. I want you as a parent, as a husband, as a mom, I just want you to just pray right now for your family. And guys, here's my challenge to you. You lead this. Let your kids hear you pray right now. Some of you in this room, you're like, I've never done that. It's okay. It's a good day for first. Moms, I want you to pray as well. Just gather with them and just begin to pray. And here's what I want you to pray. God, would you radically change my family? Say it in your words. God, my family wants more. God, we need more of you. And maybe in this moment, God's speaking some things to you that you need to shift around. Allow God to speak. But here's the warning. You better listen. You better do what he's asking you to do. You better do it. Okay? And these guys are going to lead us in a song. Let's just begin to pray right now.